no dejaremos que cierren la linda puerta que siempre ha estado abierta a la vida.
You're listening to Latin Radical with Warwick Fry.
And we have Fred Fuentes on the phone, and he's just come back from Bolivia. And last time we were speaking with Fred, Bolivia was in a crisis situation. Seems to have eased a bit since then, but especially when the president called in the army to impose martial law.
Basically, I suppose, to stop the massacre of...
Basically, to stop the massacre of indigenous people and peasants by the racist followers and supporters of rebellious governors. Fred tells us now that the government is moving on.
And going from strength to strength.
Hi, Warwick.
You were saying that it's no longer a crisis situation, and in fact the government feels that it can it is calling for another referendum to perhaps reinforce the political strength after the crisis of last month.
Firstly, it's good to be talking again. Definitely, we've received the news that today, Monday 20th of October, the Congress, having several tens, if not hundreds of thousands of protesters outside, has finally approved a law to convoke a referendum on the new constitution. Now, this new constitution that was drafted up by the democratically elected Constituent Assembly, which met through most of last year and half of the year before, had drafted up this constitution, which had become quite controversial, and was really, you know, in large part behind some of the right-wing mobilizations that have been aimed at toppling the Evo Morales government. But now what we see is that this new constitution will go to a referendum, and a referendum which will undoubtedly see an important victory, an important yes vote in favour of a new constitution that's going to dramatically increase rights for the indigenous people within what's been denominated a plurinational state, understanding that Bolivia is comprised of various indigenous peoples with their cultures and traditions that need to be respected. And that also will dramatically increase state control over natural resources, particularly gas, and probably perhaps the most conflictive question being the increased sort of state powers to seize idle large landholdings and to be redistributed to peasants. But I guess to understand how it is that only a month or a bit over a month ago, Bolivia really seemed like it was on the verge of, you know, what some at least were referring to as a potential civil war. How we got from that situation to here, I think it's important to look at the broad framework of what we can see happening today in Bolivia. And I think that's essentially defined by three factors. Firstly, we see the re-emergence or a re-articulation of the social movements, which once again are coming out in force in order to defend national unity, in order to defend their government, and in order to deepen the process. You have a government that's come out of the last sort of period of instability very much in a stronger position than it was before, and a right wing that's extremely divided and disorientated, given that they literally had tried everything they could to get rid of this government. And this situation comes about, I think there are two or three key events that define this situation. The first, of course, was the historic vote that Evo Morales received in the August 10 referendum on his mandate, along with the mandates of the prefects, or I suppose in Australia what we would call premiers, or in most other countries would be called governors. In that referendum, Evo was able to get a vote of over 67%, which really is, you know, sort of in most countries sort of an unthinkable sort of figure, and was a dramatic increase on the vote that he had got to be elected in the first place, which was at that stage a historic vote, and not just percentage-wise, but actually in the actual growth in the number of votes. And this vote really gave him a strong mandate at the international level, really sort of consolidate him as clearly the sort of, you know, central figure, the central project, Evo, the movement towards socialism, his party and his government as a key project that exists today in Bolivia. And this consolidated this image at the international level. It was very hard, obviously, afterwards to say that Evo was a minority government or some kind of dictatorship. But also internally, really set off some alarm bells for the opposition, particularly those focused in the right-wing prefects organised in what's been called the Half Moon, the eastern departments that make up a sort of crescent shape, being Beni, Pando, Santa Cruz and Tarija. They felt very, very certain that having this strong mandate behind them, that the government would push forward on the referendum to approve a new constitution to continue that momentum that they'd built off the referendum. And so unleashed really a tremendously violent wave of attacks against the government. This included the physical beatings of indigenous people, the physical beatings not just of indigenous people but of police officers and the military. This also included the violent takeover and burning down of state institutions in those departments in the east, and really were all part of a setting up for a chain of events that were to lead to culminate in a coup that would get rid of this government. These involved not just fascist shock troops of the youth organisations such as the Santa Cruz Youth Union, but also the active participation of paramilitaries that the opposition had been training up, and this is something that the government has denounced for a number of years, and also involving sections of the military itself. Now, this sort of wave of violence really reached its peak on September 11. With the massacre that happened in Porvenir in the state of Pando, where some roughly 20 peasants were killed, many more injured, and still even today, more than a month after the event, over 60 continue to be missing. So we still don't know the full extent of this massacre, but this was a massacre orchestrated by the prefect of Pando, by the prefect of Pando, who you know through the prefecture had been organising, training, funding paramilitaries that were used in this attack, and this was really to be the sort of the tipping point in their action to create a situation of internal chaos and try and see if they could bring the government down. And this involved active collaboration with some of the sections of the military, particularly the high command. Certainly when I was there with some of the meetings I was able to establish with people from the government, from the armed forces and from the social movement, they made it very clear to me that there was an active participation of some sections of the military high command who, just as they had done in the coup that occurred here in Venezuela in 2002, had turned off their mobile phones, were incommunicado, communications into the presidential palace were cut off. In fact, only a few days ago, Chavez was publicly talking about the fact that for a number of days during this period that no one could get phone calls in into Evo, neither him, neither Correa, neither Lula, the president of Brazil. Really, we had a clearly orchestrated plan, but one was defeated. And I think this was fundamentally for two reasons. The key reason here was the response of the social movements, who seeing their government under threat, seeing the national unity of Bolivia under threat, dramatically came back onto the streets, where protests occurred all over, particularly starting in the west of the country, which is really the stronghold of the social movements. But then taking the decisive decision to organise a march onto Santa Cruz in defence of the government, really Santa Cruz being the sort of epicentre of this opposition to the Morales government. That on one hand really frightened the opposition, who felt that they would not be able to control or to be able to defeat this mobilisation. And secondly was the response of lower and middle and including some high-level military officials who basically defied the sort of military command, chain of command, and in together with the government who decreed a state of siege, a martial law in the state of Pando, moved in to regain control of that department. And something that martial law continues today in Pando. And with that, what we saw was really a deactivation of the protest by the opposition, who felt that they had been defeated, who felt not only that they had been defeated, but the tables were turning against them as his march was approaching to Santa Cruz, and that their chain of events had not ended with the result that they wanted. And then this being followed through with some more further decisive action by the government, who are now have arrested the prefect of Panda. This means now that in the space of just under 2 months, three opposition prefects have been gotten rid of. Two in the recall referendum, who were defeated at the ballot box, and now the prefect of Panda, who is under arrest, facing trial now in prison, and where the government has appointed an interim prefect to take his spot. So really, on the electoral map changing rapidly, quickly, the balance of forces, given that's 3 out of 9 departments, and NAMAS already before that had control of two prefectures. They've also gone around arresting people who were directly involved in the blowing up of state institutions and the blowing up of gas pipes that link Bolivia to Brazil. And the social movements, although they lifted their protest their attempt to march onto Santa Cruz, as many felt that there was an inability to assure the security and the outcome of such a march, where there was information that there were snipers positioned in the central plaza of Santa Cruz to trigger off another clash to see a bloodbath on the streets of Santa Cruz. The social movements lifted this protest, but then decided, and through the recently formed National Coalition for Change, which brings together the mass majority of social movements, indigenous groups, peasants groups, decided that they would initiate a march onto the National Congress in La Paz to demand the approval of the law to convoke this new referendum. Now, this referendum, there had initially been a dialogue between the prefects and the government that had officially finished without any agreement, although some agreement had been reached on reforming elements of the new constitution in regards to autonomy. They were now incorporated into the new constitution. Some further negotiations happened at the Congress, some minor changes, not in the content but the form, some contradictory articles and whatnot. And given this mass pressure now, I haven't got the exact figures of the rally, but the smallest figure I've seen is around 100,000 that had marched onto La Paz, and today we're actually able to celebrate the approval of this law, and we'll now see Bolivia once again go to the polls on January 25th, where they will vote on this new referendum, and I suspect that will also be the day when they will vote on the new prefects for Cochabamba and La Paz, which were the two prefects that were revoked in the recall referendum.